Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was there, that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And these days, Barnabas came from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, upon whom the Christian church is founded, and after whom we are named, dear fellow redeemed. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. What a marvelous name to have and to carry. What a privilege to bear the name of our Lord and Savior. What a responsibility to have that name. And what better place for the believers in Jesus to be called Christians than in Antioch. For from our text this morning, we learn that Antioch was a model congregation. Our text takes place after the persecution broke out in Jerusalem following the stoning of Stephen. We're told that the believers in Christ scattered as far away as Phoenicia, the island of Cyprus, and this northern Syrian city of Antioch. At first, these converted Jews told others about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again, but spoke only to the Jews. Then we're told some men came from Cyrene and Cyprus who proclaimed the gospel message of salvation also to Greeks in Antioch. And what an effect it had. We're told, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now these Gentiles were not like the one we heard about last Sunday, the Ethiopian. He was a Gentile, but he was a proselyte. He had already come into contact with the Old Testament and been brought to faith by the Holy Spirit to believe in the Lord Jehovah and the coming Messiah. Philip then told him that Messiah was Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, and he believed in that. These Gentiles were pagans, unbelievers. Some of them probably believed in the mythical gods of the Greeks and the Romans. They probably had never heard that there's only one true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Never heard that there's only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus, the Christ. Well, as Christianity and the gospel message marched from one country to another, those ethnic barriers that had been set up between the Jews, God's original chosen people, and all the world, began to break down. And so great was the work in Antioch, the church in Jerusalem sent a man named Barnabas, a God-fearing man filled with the Holy Spirit, to go to Antioch to preach the message among these people. And Barnabas quickly went to Tarsus to search for Paul, formerly called Saul, who had been converted some 10 years earlier. And now it had been 10 years since that time when Saul was riding to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus appeared to him, and he was converted in the city of Damascus. The Lord is preparing him as his chosen instrument to speak the gospel in the Gentile world. Now those years of waiting were over. The Lord called him, "Come to Antioch and preach the gospel." We see two things about Paul. First, we see his patience, waiting 10 years for a call from the Lord. And then we see his fervor, immediately going with Barnabas and jumping in this ministry, beginning to proclaim the message of salvation. For a year, Barnabas and Paul spent teaching and strengthening and gathering a congregation who for the first time were called Christians. Christians. Those whose entire hope of salvation rests upon the power of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. Christians. Those who are led to a heartfelt sorrow and repentance over our sins and then look to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. Christians. Those who are led to a life of self-denial, yet boldly confess Christ and Him crucified and risen again to a dead world. So, did those definitions of a Christian describe you? Do they apply to us? In fact, does this model congregation of Antioch describe us? Apply to us? That's our question that makes up our theme this morning. Are we of peace through Christ, a model congregation like Antioch? Well, let's take another look at this congregation in Antioch and see what they're like. Our first point is, they're a congregation with good news for all. In the first verse of our text, we're told that the message of the good news of Jesus Christ was proclaimed to both Jews and Gentiles. The message of Christ crucified and risen again was the foundation stone upon which this congregation was built. And they didn't just proclaim it to a select chosen few. They proclaimed it to all. Well, peace through Christ began with a sincere desire to preach Christ and Him crucified and risen again, not man-made interpretations, not synodical decrees or church ordinances, but the good news of the whole gospel. And that desire and effort is still being carried on today by God's grace. But is it being carried out to all people? Are we as Christians bringing the saving message to everyone we meet? Or are we just giving it to a select chosen few? Am I as pastor being delinquent in my effort to reach all classes of society, all ages, all social and economic levels, in my desire to bring the gospel to all the world? Are we as a congregation more concerned about home needs so we don't give as much and support as much as we should to nationwide and worldwide mission efforts? There's so much out there to do in India and Nigeria and Nepal and Myanmar and Congo and Tanzania and Kenya and Zambia and Zimbabwe. And every couple months, the list grows even longer. Are we praying for and supporting our Emmanuel Lutheran High School, College, and Seminary, from which we get pastors and teachers that go out in our name and proclaim a crucified and risen Savior to a desperately world in need? These are questions which I, as a pastor, and we as a congregation need to ask ourselves. And for our past failures, we need to confess our sins and lay them all upon Jesus and seek for forgiveness. And for future work, look to that same Savior to give us the strength and commitment and courage to proclaim and to support that message being proclaimed to all people. Secondly, we see that Antioch was a congregation with a ministry for all. In the middle verses of our text, we see that Paul and Barnabas ministered to great numbers of people during that year. It was a growing church, not only growing in number, but in service and in ministry toward each other. So it's our congregation in which we minister to all. Are you as concerned with the elderly in our congregation as you are for the youth? Do we give as much love and concern to those who are individuals in this congregation as we do to families? Are we as concerned for the inactive member as we are for the active members? Is our congregation as well-rounded as it should be, meaning that we have service to all groups, all sexes, all ages? Well, here again we need to ask ourselves these questions and ask, if not, why not? And what can I do about that? Am I supporting our congregation's efforts and their ministries in these areas, my prayer, my time, my energy, my service, my talents? Am I involving myself in Bible study and evangelism outreach efforts? Or am I just showing up on Sundays? Or worse, complain, there's not enough that we have to offer here. Nothing being done. And then not doing something about it ourselves. May the Holy Spirit fill all of us with the renewed zeal to dedicate ourselves individually and as a congregation to the task to be ministering to all in our congregation. To all ages, to all around us, and to our society around us as well. You know the reason why Antioch was a model congregation? Because what they heard, and what they learned, and what they believed was in their heart. And so we see their congregation with a heart of love for all. In the last verses of our text, we hear the people's selflessness. They gave, each according to his own ability, to help alleviate the need for the brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem who are going through a famine. When Christ fills the heart with love, it can't be hid. It's shown to all. It overflows in loving deeds and actions to each other. And so once again, we need to ask ourselves, is our congregation one in which we not only talk about Christian love, but we express it? Do we show our Christian love in our relationships to each other and with each other? In our relationships as pastor and called teacher to our members, members to members, worship of love and concern and care for the members to the church officers, Sunday school teachers, our organists? Do we show our Christian love to those who visit our congregations and to those who are outside of our congregation, whom we meet in our daily lives? Here again, we pray for the Holy Spirit to fill all of us with that love of Christ so that we show that kind of selfless love toward our families, our friends, our neighbors, but also to strangers and those whom we meet. Only with the continued hearing of the Word of God can we be a model congregation, one in which Christ lives and rules, one in which the power of the resurrection is seen in what is accomplished to the glory of His name. A congregation with fellow believers eager to come consistently and regularly to hear God's word in church. A congregation of believers who get up that extra mile hour early to come to study the word of God in our Bible class and our Sunday school. A congregation of believers who come consistently, as often as it's celebrated, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to receive the assurance of the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of our faith. The congregation of believers who's concerned about Christian education supports and prays for our Christian day school and our Sunday school. A congregation of believers lovingly reaching out to one another with forgiveness and care and concern to those who are in need, who are suffering, or in times of sorrow. A congregation of believers that show their love for their Savior by their upkeep of the church and school buildings and the grounds. A congregation of believers who financially supports the work of the gospel both here at home and abroad to the best of our abilities. A congregation of believers who individually and personally tells others about Jesus and says Jesus did die as fulfillment for our sins and did rise again from the dead to assure us of a resurrection to everlasting life, and then invite them, come and see, come and hear in our church services. A congregation of believers who readily admit from the heart that we are but sinners, can't save ourselves, cannot stand before God justified, but boldly and clearly proclaim that we are blood-bought sinners redeemed in Christ Jesus, and the victory of Christ's resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit will continue to grow in grace and knowledge in the victory of Christ. It will be seen and evidenced in fruits of faith. May this be the blessed example that we show to the world. And may this be the blessed results that is evidenced with the Holy Spirit's working in our hearts, influencing our lives with the power of the Word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The peace of God which passeth understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.